Welcome everyone, good evening. I'm very, very pleased to be moderating this symposium today because the issues at hand are pertinent to what we're doing at the Art Academy here in Oslo at the moment. As many academies in Europe, we are in the middle of a development from a form of art education based on media specificity and the format of what originally was the masterclass to a new form of art education based on the three cycles of BA, MA, PhD. And somewhat more cross-disciplinary or cross-media teaching. Now, this is not to be thought of a linear development, but rather a labyrinthian one without a predetermined end. So we are in the middle of thinking. We have developed sort of a think tank where we meet every week to discuss what is it that we want to do within the current frameworks of art education and where do we want to go within what can be considered this linear development. And as we move through this development, many of the key questions that come up relate to the notions of artistic research and knowledge production. These notions are highly contested, as you know, which is why we're here today to discuss them. At an art academy, we have to ask ourselves, what is art? And what is art education? What is the function? What do artists do and art teachers? What do they do when they say they do research? Is artistic practice research? If so, what kind of research is it? What is specific to artistic research? How is it different from other kinds of research? What do we produce? Can we call what is produced at the academy or in the studio knowledge? If so, what kind of knowledge is it? Now, these are very broad and general questions, and we will go into them more in detail also, hopefully, with your contributions in the discussion round. But we will also go into whether these are the right questions to ask at all, whether the terms of the discussions that I've brought up are the ones we want to engage with, or whether we want to use, this terminology or another kind of terminology, another set of terms, and maybe work within another, a completely different set of linguistic framework. We will also have to ask ourselves, which are the conditions which lead us to discuss these questions today? Which socio-economic imperatives shape the discussion on artistic research and knowledge production? How are we implicated, in the larger context of what has been coined as a new phase of post-Fordist capitalism, namely cognitive capitalism? Within this context, the main question is the one that Wiebke and Gerd-Elise have proposed for today's symposium: is knowledge production a counterpractice or a commodity? You will notice that the terms artistic research and knowledge production are frequently used together, spoken in the same breath, so to speak. But maybe we have to question this also. Before we go into different discussion rounds after the presentations, I would like to give a brief overview over the developments in art education with regards to the structures and terminologies around artistic research and knowledge production. This is so that we all have a sort of a common understanding of where we're standing today and why it is that we're discussing these words, these terminologies. Many of you will have heard this before, and many times so. You might be very familiar, so I hope you can bear with me for about 5 minutes or so. But we have a lot of students here too, and I think it's important for people to know how we have come to stand where we are now in this debate. When considering the currency of the term knowledge production, we can draw various lines of historic development. There's one to be drawn within the art world itself, another within the academy, another, of course, within the development of a capitalist society. Within the art world, when notions of discourse and knowledge, language and text, emerged as key elements in conceptual art in the 60s, as you've mentioned, there have been protagonists such as Alan Kaprow, as a very early proponent of research in the arts, who called art an avant-gardist knowledge an avant-gardist knowledge practice. Later, Hans Hake, Martha Rosler, Adrian Piper, Robert Smithson, and many other artists in the 70s onwards have been using what they call research within their work. And in the 90s, with a practice of institutional critique, there have been further developments of what we call artistic research today. Important protagonists, of course, that you have probably heard about before are René Green, Andrea Fraser, Christian Philipp Müller, or Mark Dyan. And all of these practices offer different forms of critiques of what used to be a rather romantic notion of the unarticulated artist with his or her expressivity expressivity and interiority, and also the ways in which art operated in the institutionalized worlds of museums and the commercial context of the art market. So introducing the term knowledge production, it actually has a very long history and within the art world, and was in many instances actually a form of counter-practice as proposed by Gerd Elise and Wiebke. We have to discuss whether this is still can still be said today. Within the academy, this is another line of historical development. The Bologna process stands sort of at the beginning of this discussion in 1999. There was a Bologna declaration that was signed by a number of European ministers of education. The main aim of the Bologna process, as most of you might know, was to create forms of more standardized education so that people, meaning students and teachers mostly, would be more mobile and would be able to move more freely from one art educational institution to another. Nowadays, there's many other discussions that take the forefront when we talk about Bologna, less the issue of mobility, more the issue of standardization and homogeneity created in the universe of education. But as the Bologna process proceeded, so to speak, more emphasis was laid on the third cycle, the PhD cycle, or that of practice-based research. This exploded really more or less around 2005, with the term knowledge production popping up everywhere in the academy and beyond. It was used more and more by education administrators aiming at integrating artistic research into the university system, so as to tap into new funding sources that were now being made available to artists. But this meant adapting the language of the academy more to the language of the university, or one could say also shifting the language of artists more towards languages of other disciplines such as sociology, art history, anthropology, philosophy. The critics of this development may say that knowledge production became a term serving to legitimate what artists do, proposing that what artists do offers results, outcomes, output, contributing to society. And this is where the third line of development comes into view, that of society, moving from a Fordist to post-Fordist society based on immaterial labor and knowledge as one of its main commodities, what has been called cognitive capitalist society, where knowledge is commodified, industrialized, economized, and being made subject to free trade. So after this very broad and somewhat schematic outline of the history of the debate on art and art education, I'd like to propose entering it through the three different perspectives of our very distinguished speakers, with a particular consideration in mind, namely that of language. I believe that the language we use to describe what we do as artists, as critics, curators, etc., strongly determines the scope of our agency. If in the critique of capitalism there's a call for owning the means of production, then maybe in the field of commodified, or at least potentially commodifiable knowledge, there needs to be a call for owning the language of your production, defining what we do, what we produce, what we disseminate, with terms that are integral to our practice, not external to it. Whether the terms research or knowledge production can be used in a self-determined way, or whether we need to use these at all, is key to the considerations of knowledge production as counter-practice or as commodity. With this, I would like to address our three speakers, thanking them for coming to Oslo and presenting us with their perspectives on these issues. I will briefly introduce Olivia Plender, our first speaker, and later the other speakers. Olivia's work is concerned with assumptions and structures enforcing social hierarchies and the contemporary conditions of post-Fordist capitalism as they have emerged from ideologies of progress, reform, and emancipation. Research is central to her practice, as she will elaborate. She has done historical research on modern spiritualism, American and British social reform movements of the 19th century, looked closely at the narration of colonial history in early 20th century Britain, discussed issues of gentrification of the London East Side in the last decades, and problematized the notion of the solitary romantic artist as genius. In her presentation, Olivia will focus on late capitalist processes of commodification of knowledge, social relations, and leisure. Olivia has shown extensively in the UK and over the, across the world, so I'm not going to list comprehensively her many shows. The recent one that she's participated in was British Art Show, that is touring through Britain in 2011, the Bucharest Biennial in 2010, Malmö Kunsthall, and the Kunsthalle in Stockholm in 2010 also, a show on writing at Magba in 2009, because writing is also part of her practice, a solo show at Gasworks, and participation at the Tate Triennial Altmodern in 2009, and a solo show at Drawing Room in London in 2008. I will stop here, and I would let Olivia do her presentation, and then afterwards we will have a discussion, hopefully along with you as contributors from the audience. Thank you.